By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Very beautiful morning, mashallah, Azza wa Jal. A very beautiful and amazing topic that we've got today. You must have heard it many times, but alhamdulillah, different stories, different narrations, it makes it interesting. So please stay with me. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we'll start our program without any delay with the recitation of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon, shaytan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru, جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
وَمَا كُنتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ إِذْ نَادَيْنَا وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لِتُنذِرَ قَوْمًا مَا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ نَذِيرٍ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ
اور نہ تم طور کے کنارے تھے جب ہم نے ندا فرمائی ہاں تمہارے رب کی مہر ہے یعنی کہ تمہیں غیب کے علم دیے کہ تم ایسی قوم کو ڈر سناؤ جس کے پاس تم سے پہلے کوئی ڈر سنانے والا نہ آیا یہ امید کرتے ہوئے کہ ان کو نصیحت ہو
وَلَوْلَا أَن تُصِيبَهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَيَقُولُوا رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَيَقُولُوا رَبَّنَا لَوْلَا أَرْسَلْتَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا فَنَتَّبِعَ آيَاتِكَ وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
اور اگر نہ ہوتا کہ کبھی پہنچتی انہیں کوئی مصیبت اس کے سبب جو ان کے ہاتھوں نے آگے بھیجا تو کہتے اے ہمارے رب تو نے کیوں نہ بھیجا ہماری طرف کوئی رسول کہ ہم تیری آیتوں کی پیروی کرتے اور ایمان لاتے
فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِنَا قَالُوا لَوْلَا أُوتِيَ مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى
پھر جب ان کے پاس حق آیا ہماری طرف سے بولے انہیں کیوں نہ دیا گیا جو موسیٰ کو دیا گیا
أَوَلَمْ يَكْفُرُوا بِمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى مِنْ قَبْلُ قَالُوا سِحْرَانِ تَظَاهَرَا وَقَالُوا إِنَّا بِكُلٍّ كَافِرُونَ
کیا اس کے منکر نہ ہوئے تھے جو پہلے موسیٰ کو دیا گیا بولے دو جادو ہیں ایک دوسرے کے پشتی یعنی امداد پر اور بولے ہم ان دونوں کے منکر ہیں
قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِكِتَابٍ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ هُوَ أَهْدَى مِنْهُمَا أَتَّبِعُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ
تم فرماؤ تو اللہ کے پاس سے کوئی کتاب لے آؤ جو ان دونوں کتابوں سے زیادہ ہدایت کی ہو میں اس کی پیروی کروں گا اگر تم سچے ہو
فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ
پھر اگر وہ یہ تمہارا فرمانا قبول نہ کریں تو جان لو کہ بس وہ اپنی خواہشوں ہی کے پیچھے ہیں
ومن أضل ممن اتبع هواه بغير هدى من الله
اور اس سے بڑھ کر گمراہ کون جو اپنی خواہش کی پیروی کرے اللہ کی ہدایت سے جدا.
ان اللہ لا يهدي القوم الظالمين
بے شک اللہ ہدایت نہیں فرماتا ظالم لوگوں کو.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. MashaAllah azawajal. Very beautiful verses of the Quran. You know, alhamdulillah azawajal, definitely when you read the Quran, when you listen to the Quran, it revitalizes you. It gives you that energy, alhamdulillah. And what better energy than the energy of the word of Allah azawajal. Without any delay, we have the kalam stroke salam. InshaAllah azawajal, let's listen to that straight away, inshaAllah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
طیبہ سے لوٹنا کسی عاشق سے پوچھئے. طیبہ سے لوٹنا کسی عاشق سے پوچھئے. ایسا لگے کہ روح بدن سے گزر گئی. ایسا لگے کہ روح بدن سے گزر گئی.
ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے. قلب ہے سکون آخری رہ گئی. ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے. قلب حیران کی تسکی وہی رہ گئی.
جس جگہ سجدار ملی, جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی. جس جگہ سجدار زی کی لذت ملی. جس جگہ ہر قدم ان کی رحمت ملی. جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر. جس جگہ نور رہتا ہے شام و سحر. وہ فلک رہ گیا وہ زمین رہ گئی.
نصر من اللہ
فتح قريب جب ہوئے ہم رواسو کوئے حبیب پڑھ کے نصر من اللہ فتح قريب جب ہوئے ہم رواسو کوئے حبیب برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی برکتیں رحمتیں ساتھ چلنے لگی بے بسی زندگی کی یہیں رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر یاد آتے ہیں ہم کو وہ شام و سحر وہ سکون دل و جان و روح و نظر کرم ہے انہی کی عطا یہ انہی کا کرم ہے انہی کی عطا ایک کیفیت دل نشین رہ گئی دل وہی رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی ہم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم کر زندگانی وہیں کاش ہوتی بسر کاش بہزاد آتے نہ ہم لوٹ کر اور پوری ہوئی ہر تمنا مگر تمنا مگر یہ تمنا قلب حزین رہ گئی ہم مدینے سے اللہ کیوں آ گئے قلب حیران کی تسکین وہیں رہ گئی دل وہیں رہ گیا جاں وہیں رہ گئی ہم اسی در پہ اپنی جبی رہ گئی
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم جی مائی ڈیئر اسلام برادرز اینڈ ویورز آف مدنی چینل اینڈ ویورز آف آور رائز اینڈ شائن پروگرام دی ٹاپک وی آر گونا بی ڈسکسنگ ٹوڈے ویری امپورٹنٹ ٹاپک اینڈ سچ اے ٹاپک دیٹ وی نیڈ ٹو بی یو نو ٹاکنگ اباؤٹ دس کوائٹ آفٹن بیکاز یو کین سی دیٹ دی بلک آف دی پیپل آر موونگ ٹوورڈز دس بیڈ ڈیزیز آئی کین کال اٹ ایز ویل سیدنا عبد الرحمن امام ابن الجوزی رحمۃ اللہ تعالی علیہ has narrated a very interesting story in his book عیون الحکایات in the second volume which has been published by Maktabat al-Madina. And the story goes that there lived a very strange type of snake in a house that used to lay golden eggs every day. The owner of the house was very happy to receive this free wealth. He had strongly advised the household not to reveal this to anyone. Don't tell anyone. We've got this snake that lays golden eggs, because if they tell everyone, then people will come and ask for their share. So they kept it as a secret. This continued for several months. One day the snake came out of his hole and it bit their nanny goat. The deadly poison of the snake caused the immediate death of the goat. So you can imagine how poisonous this snake was, that immediately the goat, he passed away, he died. The deadly poison of the snake caused the immediate death of the goat. The household people were now afraid of what happened, but the owner confronted them, saying, "The profit we are reaping by means of the snake is far more greater than the price of the goat." Meaning basically, it's all right, it's only a goat, it's only a few hundred pounds, but look at the egg that the snake is giving, is worth millions. So there's no need to worry, he said to his family. And after some time, the snake bit their pet donkey that also died on the spot. The owner was now confused at this time, but he managed to contain himself due to the greed of wealth. He said, "I see that the snake is constantly causing us loss. I will have patience as long as it's only limited to the animals, as long as it doesn't hurt me or my family." 2 years passed by, but the snake did not bit anyone. The household forgot the loss of their animals. One day, the snake bit their servant. The poor slave shouted for help, but his body had become cold before his master could reach him. Yani, he died before the master could reach him. Worried, the owner said, "This snake has very deadly poison. Everyone it stung had died. I fear it may sting any one of my family members." Many days passed in the same condition, thinking what to do. Blinded by the greed for wealth, he once again silenced his family members, saying that though they were suffering loss due to the snake, they were also gaining the golden eggs as well. Therefore, they should not worry too much. After some days, the snake stung his son. An antidote was instantly made available, but his son lost his life. Extremely furious and angry at the snake, the grief-stricken man and worried about his young son's death, the husband and wife said, "There is no good in this snake anymore. It is better that this dangerous snake be killed without any further delay." So now they've realized that this snake is very bad, it's very deadly. And now they're planning to get rid of the snake. The snake heard what they had said, so it disappeared for some days, depriving them of golden eggs. After a long period of time passed, the greedy people felt anxious that they were no longer gaining the golden eggs. Yet the snake wasn't laying the golden eggs anymore. Therefore, the greedy husband and wife came to the hole of the snake and smoked it out. It was as if they had given it a message of reconciliation. Astonishingly, the snake returned and started producing golden eggs once again. Attracted by the greed for wealth, they even forgot the death of their servant and son. One day, the snake stung his wife while she was asleep. She shouted, so her husband immediately attempted to treat the snake bite with an antidote, but she lost her life as well in a very short period of time. The greedy person was now left alone. So he told his brothers and friends the whole story. All of them suggested, "You made a very big mistake. You still have chance. Take a lesson from that and kill the snake as soon as possible." Therefore, reaching home, he waited in ambush. All of a sudden, he saw a precious pearl near the hole of the snake. So now, instead of a golden egg, the snake started to lay a beautiful pearl. Seeing this, the greedy person became very happy and greed for wealth made him forget everything. He said, time changes nature. Maybe the snake now has changed, and instead of laying eggs, golden eggs, he's laying pearls. So maybe that poison that was inside the snake, it must have finished. So he let things go. And as he was digging out all the gold and the golden eggs and the pearls that he had gathered, one day, as he was digging all that, he felt tired and he felt asleep near the hole where he was digging. And then what happened? Thinking up of the idea of killing the snake, the greedy person was extremely happy that he's got all this wealth now. One day, putting all of his wealth and pearls into a pot, he buried it and went to sleep with his head placed where the pot was buried. The same very night, the snake bit him as well. His screams rang out. His neighbors, relatives, and friends came running to his house. Seeing his condition, all of them said, "You hesitated to kill the snake, even putting your own life at stake." Ashamed, the greedy person could say nothing. He then dug out the pot of gold and handed it over to them. Seeing it, all of them said, "Today this wealth cannot benefit you at all because it will now go to others." Then after a short while, that greedy person, he died. Now, this may be a story. It might not be a true story because snakes don't lay eggs. Snakes lay eggs, but they don't lay golden eggs. Yeah. So now what happens is this story, Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahmatullahi ta'ala, why he mentioned this story? He mentioned it as a lesson for us to learn. Now, this is exactly what you will find in many people today. People will lose their wealth. They will not even bother about anything. But because of greed, they will carry on doing things. Sadly today, can we not see that people are missing their salah deliberately, but nothing happens to them? They don't change their ways. We think salah and namaz is all right. It doesn't really matter. But these people realize that this salah is not just a salah. This is the worship of Allah. This becomes compulsory upon every man and woman. And it says that when a person misses his salah, his name is written on the door of hell. Now, can you imagine? Such a big wa'id has been revealed that if you miss your salah, there's many others. There'll be no barakat in your earnings. There'll be no barakat in your life. The nur, the light of your face will be taken away. You know, all the blessings will be taken away from that person who does not offer salah. But a person who is greedy of the dunya, he's not going to worry about and bothered about all these kind of things, ma'azallah. He's just going to go into his dunya. At least I get my money. At least I get my wealth. At least I've got a job. Yeah, he doesn't realize that his job has now caused him to miss his salah deliberately. He doesn't realize that his job is now, you know, if he starts to work, now because of work, he's missing his salah deliberately. But when you ask them, "Okay, Karanji, I've got to come with a karnana," that is halal earning as well. Go to a scholar and ask him that working in a place and missing your salah, will that be classed as a halal earning? That's something that we need to understand. Now, greed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned inside the glorious Quran in Surah Nisa, para number 5, verse number 128. Wa uhdiratil anfusu shuh. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And the heart is trapped in greed. Lalaj. People will do anything. People will kill their own blood brothers. They will kill their parents for this. There was an article in a newspaper where the son killed his own father just because he wanted the inheritance money. So he killed his own father. Where is he going to end up? So he ended up in jail and he got put to death as well. So what happened? Greed is something we need to do something about it. Just imagine if someone's got a headache, what do? You don't sleep at home, do you? You try to do something, you might have a rest, you might just go to sleep, you might take a paracetamol, or you might just go and have a dum. But the thing is, you're going to do something, aren't you? What have you done about greed? Lalaj hamare dil mein jo hai, what have we done about that? Have we been to a specialist? Have we been to a mufti sahab? Have we been to a scholar? Have we been to a mubaligh and told him what our problem is? Regarding the above verse, the commentator of Khazin states that greed is an essential part of the heart because it has been created in the very same way. Now, the scholars, they mention about what greed is. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, He says, the great desire to live a long life and not being content with anything as well as constant longing for excessive desires. Yeah, this wealth, that wealth, to acquire and possess more and more is called greed. Yeah, you're not content with what Allah Ta'ala has given you. You're not satisfied. You know, you don't have enough. You want more. And that's why the scholars, they say that either you will find a person who is greedy of the wealth of this world, or you will find a person who is greedy of knowledge. Now, the person who is greedy of knowledge is the type of greed that we should be having. Greed for the wealth of this world, greed for this dunya, for the materialistic things, is not a good thing. Sayyidina Fuzail bin Ayaz rahmatullahi ta'ala stated, a person sometimes keeps longing for these things or that thing until he acquires it. For fulfilling this greedy purpose, he meets many different people who use him for their own vested interests, because they fulfill their needs and requirements, which results in his ultimate disgrace. Besides this, it is love for the world and his ambitions for the worldly pleasure that forces him to respect them, greet them, and to visit them when they are suffering from any illness. But unfortunately, all these acts are not for the sake of Allah. You know, so all these acts that we do, why is it that, you know, you are respecting that person? It's because he's got wealth, he's got the power, he's got the status in the community. Why do I want to be friends with an MP? Why do I want to be friends with a local councillor? Why do I want to be friends with the so-called elite people? Why? Because they've got money. They've got contacts. That's why I want. It's not for the sake of Allah. Janab zarurat pe de mande madad karsan. So we were not respecting them for the sake of Allah. We're not respecting them because who they are. We are respecting them for that status and for that money. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has mentioned a few hadith, and I want you to listen. And I want to myself to listen to them as well. Mukashifatul Qulub, page number 124. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, people say, or any of you say, that a greedy person is more deceitful than a cruel person. But in the sight of Allah, no cruelty is greater than greed. And Allah swears by his own glory and majesty upon this, that no greedy and stingy person will enter Jannah. No greedy and stingy person, lalchi or kanjus, they will not enter paradise. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Another hadith, Kanzul Ummal, hadith number 7402. Continue refraining from greed, because it is greed that destroyed the previous nations, provoked them to tell lies, and they began lying, encouraged them towards cruelty, and made them to start breaking ties with the family. Yeah. So all of these things that we see, they're all happening in our community. People are lying just to earn more money. People are lying and family relationships are broken. Husband and wife are breaking their relationships. Mother and father, you know, are breaking their relationship with their children. The children are breaking their relationship with their parents. Relatives are breaking relationships. Why? Because of greed. You know, when you want to do something, I don't want to tell anyone. Why? Because I am doing this. Why? If I tell anyone, then that person might start to do the same as well. I don't want to benefit anyone else. So what is that? That is greed, that I want to benefit everything. Hal min mazid. And just like that greedy man, what did he take with him? All the wealth, all the golden eggs that the snake was laying, all the pearls that the snake were laying, did he take any of them? Did he make use of any of them? No. Who benefited? Those people that were left behind. His family members, his relatives, his friends, they were the ones that benefited from that wealth. So what's greed in you was used for? Another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sunan Tirmizi, hadith number 2383. The beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, two hungry wolves, when set free in a flock of she-goats, do not cause as much harm as the greed of wealth and status causes to one's deen. Yani, what the one, a person who has greed for this world, he causes a lot of damage to people around him and to his own loved ones as well. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned inside the glorious Quran, And Allah Ta'ala is now telling us why we should be keeping away from this disease. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned in para number 28, Suratul Hashr, verse number 9, and whoever is saved from the greed of his soul, it is they who are successful. Shaykhul Hadith, Allama Abdul Mustafa Azmi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala has stated, greed is extremely disgusting and a dangerous habit. A good rule for developing contentment is to always looking at those people who have less than us, not the ones who have more. Whatever wealth and honor one has been blessed with, he should live with contentment. Jo kuch Allah Ta'ala deta, be happy with that. Ya Allah, I'm happy with what you have given me. Ya Allah, I might have less than that person, but whatever you have given me, I'm happy with that. Further on, Mufti Sahib says, keeping an eye on others' wealth or pondering over it all the time and longing for acquiring those things by hook and by crook brings about disappointment, sickness and humiliation, as well as deprivation, misery. This feeling and passion is called greed, and it is an inborn feature of a human. Yeah, so all these things that are inside this person, greed, what happens to them? That person is, you know, his heart is sick. He will be humiliated. And so many people have, you know, robbers and dangerous criminals, drug dealers, alcoholics. You know, why are they humiliated? Because they chose the life of greed of this dunya instead of working for the hereafter. The Blessed Hadith mentions, if a man had two valleys of wealth, he would still wish for a third one. For nothing can fill the belly of the son of Adam except that the sand of the grave. How true that is. We've got the daily reminder. Let's take the daily reminder and we'll come back and inshallah we'll learn a bit more about this as well. Inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا صَلَّى أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّي صَلَاةَ مُوَدِّعٍ صَلَاةَ مَنْ لَا يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهَا أَبَدًا. When one of you offers salah, do so like you are a departing person who knows he shall never return to it again. Now, when we offer salah, we should turn our full attention to worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and leave everything else. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of a departing person. This refers to someone who believes he shall never be able to offer salah again after his last prayer. When such a thought is recalled, one's mind will encourage a person to sever connection with all distractions. It will spur him to concentrate and attain humility, which is the spirit of salah.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Just before we went for that reminder. Now these reminders are important as well. You know, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yeah, reminding is better. And this is why we have the daily reminders, so that we can remind each other. And this is what the beauty of Islam is, that Muslims, they remind their brothers, they remind their sisters about what the message of Islam is, about what the ruling of Islam is, about what the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla is. Now in the hadith that I mentioned about the two valleys, that Ibn Adam, nothing can fill his belly except the sand of the grave. He says, further on, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the intercessor of Ummah has guided us that the greed of a human never comes to an end. Even if he is blessed with two valleys full of gold, he would still wish for a third one. He never feels satisfied because this epidemic has seeded into his arteries. This is an epidemic. You know, we talk about other epidemics in this world. Greed is also an epidemic. Therefore, gradually, his greed grows instead of getting less. Then he reaches death, which darkens all of his dreams. Now, greed is a very, very bad curse. A poor man had three sons. Whatever sustenance he earned, he and his sons would eat. One of his sons would remain unhappy with his poverty and simple food. So he made friendship with a rich young man, whom he would visit due to the greed of good food. One day, they had a quarrel over some matter. The rich man, being proud of his wealth, beat the poor fellow badly and broke his teeth. Then, repenting in his heart, the poor fellow began to say to himself that the simple food my father provides with affection is better than the morsel that humiliates me. Had I not been driven by the greed for delicious food, I would not have been beaten up badly, nor would my teeth have been broken today. Yeah? So what happened? You see that as well. You know, those people who stay with the rich and famous, you know, we see how these people are treated as well. They're treated like animals, but they still want to stay with them. Why? Because they want to live the high life. They might be flying around, jetting around places, but they're like servants. Forget servants, they're like slaves. And, you know, they're double slaves. One, they're slave of their own nafs, and the other, they're slaves of that person as well. And I've seen people like that. Yeah, you don't want to be, you know, as the scholars, they say that, you know, our pious predecessors never made friendship with the rich and elite. Why? Because the rich and elite will always work for the dunya. They will not think about the hereafter. Now, not every rich person, an elite person is like that, but there's a very, very minority of them people. Or else, Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu was rich. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu was rich. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a rich man. Many, many rich people came, alhamdulillah, and he stated about the cause of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. Now, Bal'am bin Ba'ura, he was a very great scholar of Bani Israel. He was mustajabud da'wat, that his du'as used to be answered, they used to be accepted in the court of Allah. People gave him a lot of wealth, demanding him to curse, ma'azallah, Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. How can you curse the Prophet of Allah? But because Bal'am bin Ba'ura, he was on that level, on that status where his du'as would be accepted. People offered him. They offered him money, they offered him women, they offered him the lust of all of this world. And ma'azallah, he accepted that. And this wicked man became greedy and willing to curse. The words he wanted to utter for Musa alayhi salam would unintentionally be uttered for himself. Unintentionally. He didn't want to say these words. But every curse that he made it for himself. And Allah azza wa jal destroyed him. What a beautiful poem. Jahan mein hai ibrat ke har su namune. There are so many, you know, stories. Ibrat means lessons. There are so many lessons that we can see, so many examples that we can see in front of us. Magar tujhko andha kiya rango boone. There are so many examples, but you've been blinded because of rango boo, means because of the wealth of this dunya. Kabhi ghor se bhi ye dekha hai tune? Have you ever thought to yourself thoroughly, jo abad the wo mahal ab hai sune? Those palaces that were thriving with people, and now empty. Jaga ji lagane ki duniya nahi hai. Ye ibrat ki ja hai, tamasha nahi hai. This world is a place where we learn lessons of ibrat, not a place that we can, you know, roam and chill out with our lives and see where. And the worldly example of warnings everywhere. But a person is blinded because of the beauty, because of the materialistic things that you see. You know, in all of these buildings, you have lights, you know, you see these beautiful things. You know, even humans, you see a beautiful person, you're blinded. But yet, this dunya is going to finish. This world is going to end one day. Whoever came to this dunya, we have to leave this dunya one day. Now, Bal'am bin Ba'ura, people talk about him, that he had the knowledge of Ism-e-Azam. That special knowledge, he had the knowledge of that. He was so spiritual that he could see Arsh-e-Azam, the divine throne of Allah. He was a human. From the world, he used to see the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal while sitting at his place. Furthermore, he was also mustajab ad-da'wat, as his du'as were always accepted. He also had a large number of students. It is famous that the number of ink pots of his students were 12,000 in his seminary. Yeah. دولت دنیا سے بے رغبت مجھ کو کر دیجئے میری حاجت سے مجھے زائد نہ کرنا مالدار. یعنی Bal'am bin Ba'ura was a very, very famous person. He was a very rich person. He was a very influential person. But what destroyed him? Greed. Wealth. Yeah. So now you see a lot of people like that. You know, they might have knowledge. They might have the status. They might, people might be running after them. People want to have an autograph for them, you know, autograph of theirs. People want to have a selfie with them. They want to have taken a picture with them. You know, people would love to see, touch that person. But now that person is blinded by the wealth of this dunya. He might, if he's a non-Muslim, then that rules out everything. But if that person is a Muslim, he doesn't offer his salah, that wealth of this dunya has turned him away from the remembrance of Allah. The wealth of this dunya has now turned him away from the remembrance of Allah, from his salah, from reading the Quran. Very, you know, so many people that you see, you know, business owners or those people that, you know, their jobs are, you know, even for 9 to 5, yeah, you go to them and you say, brother, can you come to the ijtima tonight? Yeah, I don't got time, man. I finish late at work. So they've got so many excuses, but these excuses are not going to be valid. If you ask these people, why can you not wake up for Fajr Salah? It's too early. But you know what? I heard from a Muballigh mentioning that, you know, why we cannot wake up for our Fajr Salah. You know, we say, you know, I can't wake up. My alarm didn't go off. No, that is not the reason. Allah doesn't want you to stand up. He doesn't want to see you standing up in His worship. That's why He made you go to sleep. You know, they say that Allah Azza wa Jal, if He doesn't want to meet anyone, He doesn't want that person to stand up, an angel puts him to sleep. Sutaro, keep sleeping, keep sleeping. Why? Because Allah does not want that person to stand up in salah. Are we the ones that Allah does not want to see us anymore? Are we the ones that Allah Ta'ala is not bothered about us anymore? Are we the ones that Allah Ta'ala is angry with us now? A saint wrote a letter of warning to one of his Muslim brothers who loved the world, asking him the following questions. Have you achieved the worldly thing that you wanted? And have all your desires been fulfilled? You make tireless efforts for worldly matters, and you are also greedy for worldly benefits. And the man replied, by Allah, no. The saint said, ponder if the thing you are so much greedy of has not become yours, how will you be able to reap the blessings of the afterlife, which have paid no attention to? I think you are striking while the iron is not hot. You are striving for nothing beneficial. So you're working hard, you're working tirelessly, no sleep at night, during the day, running about, ye maal, ho maal, itu labija, utu labija, evi aija, hovi aija. At the end of the day, all that is we're gathering, but what have you made? What have you made out of that wealth? You've made nothing. Yeah, because all that wealth, you're going to leave behind for people. All that wealth, you're going to leave for others to enjoy. Whilst you will be answerable to Allah, because you are the one who earned that wealth. You will be answerable to Allah. Yeah, in the grave, when the angels, they will ask you 3 questions. We need to be ready for that. Yeah, man rabbuka, ma dinuka, ma kunta taqulu fi haqi hadha rajul. These 3 questions will be asked by everyone whom Allah Ta'ala blesses. Allah Azza wa Jal can take this away from him. He can go without questions into the gardens of paradise. But normally, you will be asked these questions. And then 5 questions on the day of judgment, you'll never be able to move from that day. How did you live your life? How did you spend your youth? How did you earn your wealth? How did you spend your wealth? And how much knowledge did you have? Are we ready for all of these? Let's listen to the daily hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we'll come back and we'll find a solution for this as well, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Now regarding the honorable companions, radwanallahi alayhim ajma'in, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, do not speak ill of my companions. Because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to the whole of Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them. Now what's the explanation of this hadith? Is that if a companion gave a small amount of barley in charity, whilst a ghouth, qutb, or any ordinary Muslim gave a mountain's worth of gold, the latter were not near the level of acceptance and closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true regarding fasting, salah, and all other acts of worship. When salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 50,000 offered salah elsewhere. What words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and spent time in his company? What can be said of the amazing acts of worship? Now, the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's companions is really, really high. This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not even in the slightest. These are specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved. Now imagine this, just as an example, when a merciful father does not let his son stay in the company of bad people, then how could our merciful Lord Azza wa Jal like for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in such company? The companion's superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lived in the era of divine revelation. If anyone from our lives for 1,000 years tries to spend his entire time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from disobedience, such that we become the greatest worshipper of our era, even then, dear viewers of Madani Channel, even then, all of this worship will not match a single moment spent in the companionship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn here is that whenever we speak about the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always with respect, never use disrespectful terms. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should make a habit of reading, listening to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many beautiful books have been translated in from Arabic into Urdu, from Urdu to English as well, and try to read the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know there's not many that the Maktaba has published in English, but there are many. There's Anwarul Hadith, and there are many. There's Chahal Hadith. I think this was 40 hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 40 Muntahab Hadithain. You know, so all these books here, try to read them. If you can't read Urdu, sit with someone who can explain to them. Whilst we're on the topic, let's learn a few more hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Mustadrak, hadith number 7967. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam said, "The one loving his world causes harm to his hereafter, and the loving his hereafter harms his world. So you prefer the immortal afterlife to the mortal worldly life. Take advantage of this life, prepare for the next life. Don't work too hard for this dunya. Whatever risk has been written down for you, you will receive that risk. Always worry about the hereafter. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, when our hereafter is better, this dunya, you'll get it. You know, normally when you go to a supermarket, you say, buy one, get one free. This is exactly the same scenario. Buy the hereafter, the dunya will be free for you. Meaning, prepare for the hereafter, Allah will give you better in this dunya as well. Another hadith in Jami' al-Saghir, hadith number 3662. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلِّ خَتِيَةٍ. Love for the world is the fountainhead of all sins. Yani, loving the world, it is the platform, is the fountainhead for all of the sins. As they say, that, you know, loving this dunya, then what's going to happen is you're going to get away from your salah, you're going to get away from reading the Quran, you're going to be away from your family members. You know, when it's to do with, you know, with the coming and learning about the Quran, going to the masjid, you know, these basic things that as a Muslim we should be doing them, you're going to lose all of them. Why? Because your mind is focused on something else. Your mind is focused on building a better future in this world rather than the hereafter as well. Another beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person is very surprising who witnesses the eternal abode, yani the afterlife, but is making efforts for the deceptive abode, yani the world. He realizes, yeah, this world, you know, Muslims, alhamdulillah, we all know that what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we heard from the scholars, the world is like a cage, it's like a jail, it's like a prison, and the hereafter, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, is the reward for you. So why are we working, you know, to be in a prison for? Why should we not be working for the hereafter so we can be released from this prison as well? Another last hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahris ala ma yanfa'uka wasta'in billahi wa la ta'jiz. Desire that thing which benefits you, beg Allah for help and do not be disappointed. Subhanallah. You know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us how we should be keeping away from ourselves. These hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do they reflect? They reflect the belief of a Muslim. Yeah, that wal ba'thi ba'd al maut, we are going to be coming back to life again. Don't think that when we are in this dunya, we die, we finish, we're buried, and that's the end of it. No, that's the end of your worldly life. Your life that has finished. Now you have done what? You know, when we say from banda jo hai uska wo intiqal kar gaya. Intiqal means moving from one place to another. You have done intiqal. Just like you did intiqal from the world of the souls, you did intiqal to the mother's womb. From the mother's womb, you did intiqal to the dunya. From the dunya, you have done intiqal to the hereafter. The hereafter is the last place. Either you go to paradise or you go to hell. There is nothing after that. Shaykhul Hadith, Alama Abdul Mustafa Azmi rahmatullahi ta'ala li has said, when a person being content with whatever he receives from Allah Azza wa Jal, lives his life and refrains from being greedy, this is called contentment. What we need to do now, kitna gaur yara zinda rahe sa, you know, for example, I am 46, going to be turning 47 soon, inshallah. Yeah, many people who be watching, you know, you might be older, you might be younger, but how many years are we going to live in this dunya? You know, when you go past 60 or 70, you see a decline in a person's physique. You don't, you know, your eyesight gets weaker, your memory gets weaker, you know, your body, you know, your physics, your muscles get weaker. You know, you can't walk properly, you can't talk properly, you can't do the work properly. So what happens? You have a decline. It's like when you're a child, you're growing, and when you get to 60, 70, you come down again. Kitna aur jisa? How long are you going to live? Now it's better to prepare. And those people who don't prepare for the dunya, it's like when you're going abroad, yeah, you're going abroad, you don't have your passport, you don't have your luggage, you don't have no money, you've got nothing. And you go to the airport, all right, I want to go to Medina. Yeah, where's your passport? I don't have it. Where's your visa? I don't have it. Will they let you go? Now just imagine if they did let you go, yeah, if you went on a holiday, you packed up everything, you packed your suitcases, at the end of the day, you're not even prepared for it. You're not going anywhere. But the life of this world, oh, you're traveling in a train. Yeah, that train is going to stop somewhere. Which is your stop? We don't know. But there is a stop that has been designated to you. There's been a lifespan that has been designated to you. Ek din marna hai, aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai, aakhir maut hai. The final message for myself and for us is, remember, try to work for the dunya and try not to have greed for this world. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us, and may Allah Azza wa Jal accept, and may Allah guide our iman. Ameen bi jahin nabiyil ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. See you later, inshallah, and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun